table of showbread. Jesus, our King and Priest. And you notice it is the same height as the ark. Reaches into the same glory of God. Same height. Jesus, our Priest, reaches right to the level of the ark. Then you will find that there were the 12 loaves and the frankincense. They talk about government, right? Then you will notice in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 28 to 33, that the bread that they have was prepared by the musicians and the singers. That tells you how important it is if you want to move into authority with God or priestly ministry. You cannot avoid a life of worship. Only a life of worship will lead you into the authority that God wants you to flow into. A fifth and last area, of course, is the wine. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's still there. Now, the golden lampstand in chapter 37, verse 17 onwards, have seven lamps. Out of one side comes three, out of the other comes three. So three plus three plus the one in the middle is seven. Now, each arm has three knobs. There it describes the little knobs. And the little knobs are, in verse 19, almond knobs. Almond is a symbol of the anointing upon. So you have three knobs on one side and three knobs on the other side of the same branch. In other words, each branch was divided into three parts. So you have nine plus nine. Nine gifts and nine fruit. Nine gifts and nine fruit flow parallel together. You never separate the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. They flow together. You take away the fruit, your gifts will not function the way God wants it. That is why Paul pointed out to love. Do you notice in 1 Corinthians 13, he talked about love suddenly? And love covers all the fruit. Why does he talk about love? Because he said, pursue love so that you will flow in the gifts perfectly. I show you a perfect way to let your gifts flow. And then you have the joining at the knobs where all the branches meet. You notice there will be four joints because there's the top one that you have the seventh lamp, the center one. Then wherever the branch meets, there are three branches on each side. There is a little knob like an almond bowl. And so there are one, two, three, and the top one, four. That represent all the four aspects of Jesus. Jesus Christ as King, Jesus Christ as Savior, Jesus Christ as Son of God, and Jesus Christ, Son of Man. All the four aspects that you constantly find in the book of Exodus. And then as you move out into that area of what we call the altar incense, right before the ark, that is found in verse 25 of Saint chapter 37. And you notice that the altar of incense immediately, and you read the measurement, verse 25, you will find that it is the tallest piece of furniture. That tells you how far the altar of incense goes. It reaches into the heights of God. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, you will notice when we talk about seven feasts, we touch a little bit on that more. So I'm just giving some details here. When we talk about seven feasts, this will be repeated a little bit. We'll just do some foundation. That the altar incense is actually on the inside of the second veil. But here in Moses' tabernacle, it's outside. We'll look upon that in the book of Leviticus, on more truths on that. But for now, we want to look at the other parts in chapter 38, the brazen altar. Chapter 38. The brazen altar represents different things. So you have, as you come in to the ark, to the tabernacle of Moses, the brazen altar. And then after the brazen altar, the laver. Then you enter the first veil. You have on your left side the table, golden lampstand. On your right side, the table of showbread. And then before the ark, the altar incense. And then you go in the second veil, the ark. The brazen altar represents Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the power of the blood. Then the level represents Jesus, the Word, make flesh, power of the Word. Golden lampstand, Jesus, the baptizing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Table of showbread, Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the power of the name of Jesus. And altar of incense, Jesus, our High Priest. Here, Jesus, our King, King of Kings. Here, Jesus, our High Priest. And Jesus, our High Priest, the power of praise and worship. And then the ark, Jesus, the fullness of God, the power of God's presence, the fullness of His glory. Now, there's something about the brazen altar that I'd like you to see here, about the different instruments. There were all different types of utensils they make in verse 3. There were pans, shovels, basins, forks, and fire pans. What are all these for? First of all, you see that the brazen altar has four horns in verse 2, four corners. It represents Jesus the Lamb, the Gospel. Jesus died for our sins. The Gospel must go to all the four corners of the earth. Four horns. The only other piece of furniture that you see having four horns is where you have the table of showbread, but that's four sides. And then the other part is in the ark. That tells you in the last days, God will also have the glory of God cover the earth, as the Gospel covered the earth in the first part. Now what we want to see here is that the five utensils represent grace. Five is a number of grace. At the brazen altar, which actually is judgment, we find grace. Then you have the instrument, the pans. The pans are used to carry ashes. The shovels are used to remove the ashes out. The pans and the shovels represent two things: sins and sin. The shovel removes the, takes away the ashes. Ashes represent the burnt offering that is there, burnt for us, our sins. So it tells about our sins being removed. But then when it deals with the pans that carry the ashes away, talks about our sin nature dealt with. Both flow together, the pans and the shovels. We must deal with our sin nature and our sins. Two areas of ashes. Two instruments for ashes. Not one, two. Then you have the basin that contains the blood, because we need the atonement, the blood of the Lamb. And finally, we have this fox that hung to hang the animal, to burn the animal as a sacrifice. The fork hangs onto the flesh of the animals. That tells you that we need the Gospel, the power of the blood, to renew us on the inward parts of our being. Our sin nature, our sins, our unrenewed mind. We need our mind cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And that cleansing has to touch our physical body. Peter in 1 Peter 2:24 connects the two. Talks about repentance, forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, and healing. Flows together. And of course the fire pans. Fire pans, the fire of the Holy Ghost comes. Now the level is much simpler. It has no dimensions at all. No dimensions given at all. Because Jesus, the Word made flesh, cannot be comprehended. Completely no dimensions. And you notice here, in Leviticus chapter 1 verse 9, there are two things that are done with the lever. The entrails of the animal that they cut, the intestines of the animal, are washed there before it's burned. And then the feet of the animal is also washed there. Now the lever represents the Word of God. The Word must deal with our inward parts as well as our outward part. The Word of God is not only for commandments to follow. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt walk this way, thou shalt do it this way. It is not only for methodology. The Word is for our very inward parts. So with all this we have covered in chapter 8, 39, the tabernacle of Moses, all the various parts that we have. I know we have just run through. We'll look more in detail when we compare with the seven feasts of Israel. But in chapter 4, and everything has been completed, you will notice that they set everything up already, and they need the anointing oil. The anointing oil that was prepared, and he anointed the whole thing. And the glory that Moses had and saw in verse 34 and 35 was greater than the glory at the burning bush, was greater than the glory on Mount Sinai, was greater than the glory when he met God, when God hid his face. That glory was greater than any glory he had ever seen. And that tells you how in the church in Acts, in Ephesians, God wants to bring the church to the point where His fullness can dwell in the church. The prime goal is not removal of sin. The prime goal is Emmanuel, God, in us and with us. Let us pray. Father God, we praise You and we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy tonight with us. We ask, O God, that You continue to establish Your Word in us. Tonight, O God, we ask that Your grace and Your mercy will continue to be established mightily, O God. We thank You, O God, that Your grace is sufficient for us. And let Your Word, Lord, burn like a fire in the hearts of each one, so that they could move into the fullness of Your Word for them. In Jesus' name. Let us all rise together. And we sing that closing song, Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Think I lost my way, but still You're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as You are near. Please hold me to Your side. My feet and a light unto my path. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Father God, we ask that You seal Your blessings. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May He be gracious upon you. May He give you life and peace and prosper all the work of your hands. May His mercy enfold your life and cause your ways to abound in Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever ministry that some of you may need, we are adjourned to the outside over there where the pastors will also pray together with you. Praise God.